Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 43, verses 1 through 34. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Genesis chapter 43. Now the famine was severe in the land, and when they had eaten the grain that they had brought from Egypt, their father said to them, "Go again, buy us a little food." But Judah said to him, "The man solemnly warned us, saying, 'You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. If you will send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down, for the man said to us, "You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you."'" Israel said, "Why did you treat me so badly as to tell the man that you had another brother?" They replied, "The man questioned us carefully about ourselves and our kindred, saying, 'Is your father still alive? Do you have another brother?' What we told him was in answer to these questions. Could we in any way know that he would say, 'Bring your brother down'?" And Judah said to Israel, his father, "Send the boy with me, and we will arise and go that we may live and not die, both we and you and also our little ones. I will be a pledge of his safety. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. If we had not delayed, we would now have returned twice." Then their father Israel said to them, "If it must be so, then do this. Take some of your choice fruits of the land in your bags, and carry a little present down to the man, a little balm and a little honey, gum, myrrh, pistachio, nuts, and almonds. Take double the money with you. Carry back with you the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise, go again to the man. May God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, and may he send back your other brother and Benjamin. And as for me, if I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved." So the men took this present, and they took double the money with them and Benjamin. They arose and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, "Bring the men into the house and slaughter an animal and make ready, for the men are to dine with me at noon." The man did as Joseph told him and brought the men to Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought to Joseph's house, and they said, "It is because of the money which was replaced in our sacks the first time that we are brought in, so that he may assault us and fall upon us to make us servants and seize our donkeys." So they went up to the steward of Joseph's house and spoke with him at the door of the house and said, "Oh, my lord, we came down the first time to buy food, and when we came to the lodging place, we opened our sacks, and there was each man's money in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight. So we brought it again with us, and we have brought other money down with us to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks." Joseph replied, "Peace be to you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has put treasure in your sacks for you. I received your money." Then he brought Simeon out to them. And when the man had brought the men into Joseph's house and given them water, and they had washed their feet, and when he had given them their donkeys fodder, they prepared the present for Joseph's coming at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. When Joseph came home, they brought into the house to him the present that they had with them, and bowed down to him to the ground. And he inquired about their welfare and said, "Is your father well, the old man of whom you spoke? Is he still alive?" They said, "Your servant, our father, is well. He is still alive." And they bowed their heads and prostrated themselves. But Joseph lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me? God be gracious to you, my son." Then Joseph hurried out, for his compassion grew warm for his brother, and he sought a place to weep. And he entered his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out, and controlling himself, he said, "Serve the food." They served him by himself, and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and to the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked at one another in amazement. Portions were taken to them from Joseph's table, and Benjamin's portion was five times as much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As we pass through Genesis chapter 43, consider how much has changed. See first how Jacob, that most deceitful patriarch, is out of tricks now. It's as if Jacob considered Benjamin to be his heir and his child of promise. And yet, how far away from grandfather Abraham is he? Abraham did not hesitate to give up his only son to be sacrificed. But when finally Jacob is convinced, he relinquishes Benjamin fearfully. He acts as he always had done before when he was in fear, like when he approached Esau. Bring a gift, bring a bribe, buy Pharaoh off. Of course, as with Esau, the gift will not be needed in the end. Now consider also how Judah, the son, has changed. Presumably, he must have been part of that plot against Joseph, but certainly he had shown himself unready to offer up his son when he refused to give him in duty to Tamar. But of course, when Judah was caught by her later, he declared that she was more righteous than he. And that confession was a fruit of repentance. And now, look at Judah. He surpasses Reuben's offer from last week, and he pledges his own life in exchange for Benjamin's. He will bear the blame, the guilt, the sin, it says here, if anything should happen to him. And in this, Judah is living up to the character of his true offspring. He is acting as the ancestor of Christ, who is our sin bearer, our great exchange. And with Joseph, too, there is a change. There is humility, where once there was impetuous arrogance. It was a dramatic rise and change, of course, from his misfortune to his power, but now we glimpse his maturity into a true man also. He does not grab at easy revenge. He plays this game in a measured and a truly fatherly way, just like his old man in terms of the trickery, but well beyond his old man because of its manifest kindness to his brothers. None of Joseph's tricks are played out of retribution. He sets his brothers to anxiety. He gives them instability of heart. That's true. He sets up a trap for men with guilty consciences in order to agonize them for a time, as we'll see even more vividly in the coming chapter. But he keeps them alive and well. They are well fed. They go home richer than they came, even though they came with money and price, while the rest of the world is stuck rationing. Joseph receives today the fulfillment of his oneric prophecy and does not spike it in front of them. He is moved instead immediately to call out by compassion for Benjamin, with concern for his father, and with grace toward those 10 brothers. And he returns Simeon to them unharmed, I suspect, very well fed for a prisoner. Now, in Psalm 105, we have the whole story of Israel, all of the people, all of the patriarchs, and it gives us a brief and poetic version of our saga here with Joseph. And it seems to gloss over this whole great story, all of this long back and forth, amusement with the grain and with the money bags, trading off brothers. But that psalm says about Joseph this phrase: he bound princes at his pleasure, he taught senators wisdom when Pharaoh set him up. The wisdom that Joseph taught to Egypt was not grain management. He taught that the children of Israel are to be blessed. He teaches compassion and grace, even testing the limits of Egyptian custom by portioning out to each brother, and especially to Benjamin, from his own table. If the Lord is to be heeded when it comes to years of plenty and years of famine, even as Pharaoh now admits, and if the Lord is to be heeded when it comes to practical advice and good morals, as some of our world's wise yet unbelieving folks are willing to acknowledge also, then the Lord must be heeded also in favoring the sons of promise. With Joseph comes blessing to Egypt. And the sons of promise with them must learn and recall that it is faith. Faith lived in repentance, lived not by clinging to idols or tokens of earthly security, but by trust in the promises of this Lord. Their faith cannot be idle or optional at the heart of mere outward success. And so Joseph says, in the presence of all the people, a marvelous phrase: your God and the God of your father has put the treasure back into your sacks. Now that's no deception or lie on Joseph's part at all, because he knows that the Lord works all things together for good. Just wait till the end. It is not ruined either when the Lord includes Joseph's hands in this caper. Now, the brothers had forgotten Joseph. They must not forget their Lord, nor may their father forget him. So Joseph surrounds this theological statement with the most excellent phrases that God's messengers always use in the Bible. Listen to these things: peace be to you. Do not be afraid. God be gracious to you. Such change in people does not come about by one's own virtue or perseverance, even in adversity. It comes about by the Word of God. That's what Psalm 105 says about Joseph. The Lord gives his undeserved compassion. He invites us to come and to eat without money and without price, and he bestows rich blessing at his own expense. He takes our shame and our guilt, and he gives his righteousness in its place. He calls forth faith by the very promises which he invites us to believe. These are the Lord's tricks, the tricks by which he entraps us in his grace. And this is what Joseph really wants to teach the nations about his God. And this is what makes for the sort of change that we desire to see in ourselves and also in our brothers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.